How would it be, she asked them coldly as they left the classroom for break, bins drifting away through the blackboard, if I refuse to lend you my notes this year? We'd fail our OWLs, said Ron. If you want that on your conscience, Hermione. Well, you deserve it, she snapped. You don't even try to listen to him, do you? We do try, said Ron. We just haven't got your brains or your memory or your concentration. You're just cleverer than we are. Is it nice to rub it in? Oh, don't give me that rubbish, said Hermione, but she looked slightly mollified as she led the way out into the damp courtyard. A fine misty drizzle was falling, so that the people standing in huddles around the edges of the yard looked blurred at the edges. Harry, Ron, and Hermione chose a secluded corner under a heavily dripping balcony, turning up the collars of their robes against the chilly September air, and talking about what Snape was likely to set them in the first lesson of the year. They had got as far as agreeing that it was likely to be something extremely difficult just to catch them off guard after a 2-month holiday when someone walked around the corner toward them. Hello, Harry. It was Cho Chang, and what was more, she was on her own again. This was most unusual. Cho was almost always surrounded by a gang of giggling girls. Harry remembered the agony of trying to get her by herself to ask her to the Yule Ball. Hi, said Harry, feeling his face grow hot. At least you're not covered in stink sap this time, he told himself. Cho seemed to be thinking along the same lines. You got that stuff off then? Yeah, said Harry, trying to grin as though the memory of their last meeting was funny, as opposed to mortifying. So, did you, have a good summer? The moment he had said this, he wished he hadn't. Cedric had been Cho's boyfriend, and the memory of his death must have affected her holiday almost as badly as it had affected Harry's. Something seemed to tauten in her face, but she said, Oh, it was all right, you know. Is that a tornado's badge? Ron demanded suddenly, pointing at the front of Cho's robes, to which a sky blue badge emblazoned with a double gold T was pinned. You don't support them, do you? Yeah, I do, said Cho. Have you always supported them, or just since they started winning the league? Said Ron, in what Harry considered an unnecessarily accusatory tone of voice. I've supported them since I was 6, said Cho coolly. Anyway, see you, Harry. She walked away. Hermione waited until Cho was halfway across the courtyard before rounding on Ron. You are so tactless. What? I only asked her if I... Couldn't you tell she wanted to talk to Harry on her own? So? She could have done. I wasn't stopping. What on earth were you attacking her about her Quidditch team for? Attacking? I wasn't attacking her. I was only... Who cares if she supports the Tornadoes? Oh, come on. Half the people you see wearing those badges only bought them last season. But what does it matter? It means they're not real fans. They're just jumping on the bandwagon. That's the bell, said Harry dully, because Ron and Hermione were bickering too loudly to hear it. They did not stop arguing all the way down to Snape's dungeon, which gave Harry plenty of time to reflect that between Neville and Ron, he would be lucky ever to have 2 minutes' conversation with Cho that he could look back on without wanting to leave the country. And yet, he thought, as they joined the queue lining up outside Snape's classroom door, she had chosen to come and talk to him, hadn't she? She had been Cedric's girlfriend. She could easily have hated Harry for coming out of the Triwizard Maze alive when Cedric had died. Yet she was talking to him in a perfectly friendly way, not as though she thought him mad, or a liar, or in some horrible way responsible for Cedric's death. Yes, she had definitely chosen to come and talk to him, and that made the second time in 2 days. And at this thought, Harry's spirits rose. Even the ominous sound of Snape's dungeon door creaking open did not puncture the small, hopeful bubble that seemed to have swelled in his chest. He filed into the classroom behind Ron and Hermione and followed them to their usual table at the back, where he sat down between Ron and Hermione and ignored the huffy, irritable noises now issuing from both of them. "Settle down," said Snape coldly, shutting the door behind him. There was no real need for the call to order. The moment the class had heard the door close, quiet had fallen and all fidgeting stopped. Snape's mere presence was usually enough to ensure a class's silence.